Title of our Sunday school lesson today is A Discouraged Choir Director, and our devotional and background study comes from the 73rd chapter of Psalms, verses 1 through 17. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not,
Our lesson today is coming from the 73rd division of Psalms, and the title of it is A Discouraged Choir Director. And Terry thought that this would be a perfect lesson for me to teach as I tried to get him to teach it. So this psalm is written by Asaph, and he was one of the chief musicians or choir leaders, music leader, in the court of David. And he wrote this psalm at a point in his life when he was down and depressed by all that was going on around him. But first of all, I want to go back to something that Brother Maggart spoke about yesterday back in the book of Joshua, and the 24th chapter and the 15th verse, where Joshua said, But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, one of my more favorite verses in the scriptures, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But my thought process here for our lesson today is, I read that first because when you think about it, that is not the easiest thing to do. I mean, it's easy to read and it's easy to talk about, but it's not easy to do. And some of that reason is because of all the things that the world has to offer. The world has to offer to a lot of people a lot more than what the church can give, or they're expecting more maybe than what the church can give, and they can find that out. They can find just about anything they want out in this world, and that includes God's people. Now I'm speaking of God's people too. We are maybe not prone as the world is, but we are susceptible to falling in the worldly trap that is set out there. And I think it's especially aimed at God's people because we're to set an example. And Satan understands that if we are able to set an example, he's losing the battle. So he wants to take our influence and all that we have to offer the world, and he wants to turn it inside out, and he wants to twist and ply us to where that we are looking out at the world as something wonderful, something that is great out there. So we may have an earnest desire to choose you this day who we serve, but it's not as easy as it seems. Now the other thing I'm going to do a little different is, when we go back to our lesson here, I know that Terry read this, but to get the full impact of what Asaph is saying, I'm going to read it again, because I want to tie it directly in to what our lesson portion is today. So I'm going to start at the beginning. Asaph says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Asaph is in a bad shape here. He's what we would call today, I think, maybe backsliding a little bit. And he's got this despair, this sinking feeling, and he's not happy with the way things are going on around him. He's not even happy with his thought process that he has. But he says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Now, I'm not going to point fingers at anybody. I'm just going to point fingers at myself. I have felt that, and I have to say, I believe that you people have felt that too. You felt envy at somebody out there whose things are just going their way, day by day, day by day. Everything is going their way. They seem to have everything they want. You seem to be struggling for what you want. They seem to get something without any effort. It takes a lot of effort for you to get that. It may take more effort than you even can give to have what somebody else has, so you do without. And that's envy. That's envious. And I think, I'm going to say I have been that way. I think everybody has been that way. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just thinking that that's a normal reaction. It's a human reaction. He says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness." In other words, they bulge. "They have more than heart could wish." Now we all know people who seemingly are like this. We do. When I was working, I was around people all the time that had a lot more than I did. And many times made no bones about it. They were wealthy and they knew it. And so you get this feeling like Asaph has here. He's lamenting that these people are out there. They're living good. They're enjoying it. It looks like they're being blessed on every hand. They have everything they want. They need for nothing, to the point that it becomes almost criminal. They'll do anything to maintain what they have. It's just the mindset of the way it goes. You know, you have this and you want more. You get that and you want more. And it's kind of a continuing thing throughout their lives. "They are corrupt," or they scoff, "and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily," or proudly. Anything that would stand in their way is the oppression. They scoff at that. There's nothing that stands in their way, in other words. This is how Asaph is viewing all this. There's nothing that will stand in their way. These people are just consuming everything, and it's just tearing Asaph apart in his mind. "They speak loftily," or proudly. "They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth." The thing I thought about when I read that verse, "they set their mouth against the heavens," is that some of the people that were my clients when I was working, the lenders, the bankers, when they hired a banker, and I may be getting way off base here, but when they hired somebody, they gave them a list of churches they would like them to belong to, because it helped the image of the bank for them to belong to. And one of the biggest churches that the number one church on the list was the United Methodist Church in Brentwood. And they liked that feeling of belonging to this large church. And, you know, nothing was ever said about them going out and bar hopping at night. Maybe that's not the correct, but going out and having business lunches and drinking and enjoying all that festivity of like that, when that in my mind was speaking against heaven. But you see, that's how the world works. And if you're not out there seeing this, you may not understand everything that's going on, but there's a lot of stuff going on out there that the devil, Satan himself, is very happy with. So you find that in your everyday life. And Asaph, he's viewing all this, and he said they speak against heaven, yet they have all of this. You know, they talk against God, but look what they got. And I'm just feeling so bad about this. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? You know, people get to a point to where it's almost like God can't see them and doesn't know what they're doing. But God's own people get like that sometimes. They almost feel like God can't, or we almost feel like, sometimes God is not looking down upon us, and we can just do whatever we want to, and we don't give God a second thought. That happens to his own people. We get in that, you know, in that mindset. But listen, God knows everything that's going on. Everything. He made this world. Don't think that he doesn't know what is going on in your heart, in your mind. He knows what's going on in your everyday life. He knows it all. But here people have reached a point to, they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. And here he's reached a low point. He said he's been doing good all his life, and it's been all in vain, because he feels that he has nothing. And these other people have it all. And they're living this riotous living. They're enjoying the fruits of whatever it is they're doing. And he isn't. He's not. He's just reached this point where he's just not enjoying what it is that he has. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Now, how many of us have felt like that? The world is against us. We've just had a horrible time. Things are just not going right. God has turned his back on us. We're having these troubles and trials and sorrows and everything, and it just looks like nothing is going to ease off at all. It just looks like, where is God? Why is he doing this to me? And why is this happening to me or my family? And why is this person next door prospering so much? Because they seem to have everything. They don't have these troubles and tribulations that I seem to have. They're out there living the good life and enjoying themselves. Because Asaph says, all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me to... it means it was too painful for him to even understand all that was going on. It just hurt him so bad. Now, in the first and in the first through third verses and the 13th through 16th verse of this, my reading, Asaph is feeling sorry for himself, obviously, and he's losing his faith. How many of us here have felt that we have so much trials and tribulations that we begin to lose our faith? Now, why I read this whole thing is because I want to set this up. Because there's something that's about to happen. And we need to take a look at what Asaph is about to do. In the he lamented all this, and he said in the 16th chapter verse, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me." But then listen to what he said. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God." He was feeling down. He was feeling low. And then what did he do? He stepped into the sanctuary of God. And there he found his answer. He says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image." In other words, there's coming a day. And it's not that God's been slumbering. Asaph is just using this as an illustration. And when God wakes up, it's going to be an awful day. Not for Asaph. He's okay. He's just lost his way. You know, David lost his way. And he prayed that not that God would save him, but he would just return the joy of his salvation. That's what Asaph is looking for. He's looking for the joy of his salvation. He's lost his way. He's just walking blindly out here in the world, like we sometimes do, and like we have lost the joy sometimes of our salvation. But he found it again. "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins, in his mind. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." That's a promise we have by God himself. And God never lies. And one of these days, we're going to be received in glory.
Yeah.
And we'll have everything. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I know one thing. I want to be there.
Yeah.
I truly want to be there. I want to see it. I want to see what God has prepared for his people. I want to see that no matter what kind of tribulations I have in this life. One of these days, I'm going to have it all. As the song says, then I'll have everything.
Yeah.
One of these days. "Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." You see, Asaph was getting where he needed to be now. He was in there, I believe, on his knees, thanking God for what he had. "Who have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou shalt destroy all them that go a-whoring from thee." But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust and the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. That's where we need to be. We need to be where Asaph is right now. We need to be on our knees thanking God for what he's given us, for what we do have in this life. And we need to know that there's a better day coming. If we just continue on in the battle that God has placed in our hands to work and serve him, and whatever comes, nobody ever promised it's going to be a bed of roses. Nobody ever said that. But we got something the world don't have. We got a God that we can go to, that we can carry these troubles and issues to, because he knows us. He knows what's before us. He knows what we're going through. He understands. And if we'll just humble ourselves before him, we can find that comforting hand. Now, I want to read this is kind of unusual for me, too. I want to read what the writer of this lesson has to say before I end my lesson. He kind of sums it all up in the last two paragraphs of his commentary. He says, God, I know you're there, but can't you see what is happening? I'm hurting, and I don't understand why. I'm about to go under. I'm going crazy. I'm mad. I'm confused. I have tried to stay true to you. I try to serve you, but I look around at everyone else. They don't know you and don't even want to. They mock me for my beliefs. Still, they're the ones living it up and having fun. Life is good for them. They have a better job, get paid more, and get to do more things. But I'm the one with this heartache. This isn't fair. Why aren't they punished? Help me to understand. Lord, I know you are the one and only God. Thank you for saving my soul. If we never get anything else in this life, we got the one thing that matters, and that's salvation. Now, the world may not think much about it, but it's everything to me. It's everything. If I never receive another morsel of food, I've got salvation. I've got something that'll carry me on to a better place. Thank you for peace and understanding. You are the one who calms the storms in my life. Forgive me for my doubts and faithless challenge to your greatness. I know you protect and provide for me as you always will. I know that you hold me in your hand. I am the one who wants to run. I will put my trust in you and feed my soul with your strength and love. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Greatest day of my life. Just a 7-year-old boy. Just in that moment, I knew that I'd split hell wide open if God didn't do something. Well, he did. That's been 60 years ago, 61 years ago almost. That day is the brightest day of my life. I remember it just like it was yesterday. And I told y'all before, I've been over there to my spot where the Lord saved me. Won't never be another place like that. There don't need to be another place like that. That one's mine. And it's mine forever. And I don't even have to show him where it is. He already knows where it is. God knows where I was when he saved my soul. And I'm thankful for that. And thankful for what he's given me. And thank him for the hardships and troubles and trials that we've had. Because I think in many cases it's drawn us closer to God. Because as the song said, not only is he at the top of the mountains, but he's down in the valleys. And you know, boy, when you know that he's down in the valley, that's when you can really make contact with God. Sometimes we're up on that mountain and, you know, we're running. Man, things are going good, and we almost forget who God is. But boy, when we're down in that valley, I don't think we ever forget who God is. I believe we were searching for him down in that valley. And he's always there. He's there every time we get there. That's my message. That's my teaching this morning. Anyone have anything to say? Truer words were never spoken, Jimmy.
This morning, I don't know whether it's Kim to anybody in this church or not, but I read the obituaries. There's a Mr. Kemp in there. And I thought, what a blessing. The man's obituaries and what a witness it is to people that are reading these obituaries this morning. He was a member of Cornwall Missionary Baptist.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was saved such and such back here.
Yeah.
You don't read that in there, but
what a testimony to leave.
Will and Testament used to be just that people gave their testimony. And it was read when what the dispersion of their goods was, but the testimony was read about their salvation. Mm-hmm. That's where we got the term last will and
right.
Testament.
And that's fallen out of fashion.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of people that has that testimony, I don't believe. But it does.
So giggly and so happy. But Dad, he's always been afraid to admit it because he's afraid he'd be wrong. not just him, but I want to see Cole saved. I pray for Cole. I pray for Lariah, Skylar, and everybody else. I want to see them saved too.
That's right.
So, Neil, I guess the Lord's blessed me a whole lot more than what I thank him for.
And I think that's, I think that holds true for all of us. I think we're all guilty of that, of forgetting maybe what God has done for us in the past. I think we are.
It isn't me to read obituaries. Some will have some stretched out. And I tell people, look at this. This is their resume.
Yeah, it's their final resume.
I heard an old preacher say one time, somebody was saying some of the same thing, when, you know, these people just show up, you know, for revival meetings all the time and shouting it out. And he said, well, if you hadn't eaten in a long time, you might be thankful when you get to bed.
That's true. Anyone else? Billy, would you dismiss us this morning, please?